Hello and welcome to the EMG Health Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Jonathan Sakia, and this episode, brought to you in association with Veracyte, is an overview of the Veracyte-sponsored symposium, The Pathway to the Future of Breast Cancer Care, which took place at the European Breast Cancer Congress on October the 3rd, 2020. The symposium, originally planned to take place in Barcelona but changed to a virtual format, features Bonnie Anderson, the CEO and chairman of Veracyte, a San Francisco-based provider of advanced clinical genomics, discussing with her first employee, Dr. Julia Kennedy, Veracyte's chief scientific and chief medical officer, about the challenges and rewards around developing truly useful biomarker assays using machine learning and artificial intelligence. In turn, crafting and refining clinically useful assays that provide actionable results that can reduce unnecessary, costly, and often dangerous surgical interventions. Veracyte took the leap this year to expand their commercial activities outside of the United States and acquired the diagnostic capabilities of the nCounter platform. This has allowed the company to commercialize currently validated tests such as the FDA's 510K approved Prosigna breast cancer assay that informs adjuvant chemotherapy decisions, and also to provide global access to Veracyte's other tests that previously had only been accessible from a central laboratory. During this conversation, Dr. Kennedy highlights the four engines of research and development that drive these sophisticated biomarker algorithms and outlines the long road from start to finish for precision medicine to demonstrate clinical utility for the healthcare system and improve patient outcomes. I do hope you enjoy.
You talk about our success in terms of the engines that you've built in R&D. Can you elaborate on these engines and why they are so important?
Yeah, our engines are really important to us. We have four major engines that help propel us all the way from ideation to commercialization and then all the way through to clinical adoption. So we have the research and development engine, the data analysis and algorithm development engine, the clinical operations engine, and the medical affairs engines. And I'll talk about each of them briefly. So the R&D engine takes an idea for a product in the R phase, the research phase, and creates prototypes using different sample collection and preservation methods and different prototype data on the platform. They generate large-scale gene expression profiling through next-generation sequencing to provide all of the features, and then hands this data over to the data analysis team for prototype algorithm development, and I'll talk about that in a minute. Once that project is seen to be feasible, so we really have something that we think is going to be successful, we then start the D part, or development. The development team takes this prototype and shapes it and molds it all the way through what's called analytical verification and finally the clinical validation, and then walks hand in hand to transfer this to the CLIA lab, which runs the test commercially. That's a regulated lab. Our second engine is the data analysis and algorithm development engine. That's the machine learning group that does all the computational work. They take all the data that's generated throughout the project, starting with prototype algorithm development, all the way through validation and the studies that I just mentioned. So all things numerical and statistical are handled by the data analysis and algorithm development team. The clinical engine is also very important as it starts with the project and finishes as well through the whole span. The clinical engine designs and implements clinical trials for collecting samples that fuel the algorithm training, validation, and subsequent utility studies. They work with the clinicians at all these various sites to, for example, achieve clinical information on the samples, because sometimes the data analysis team, the algorithm, actually uses this clinical information and combines it with the genomic information to create an even better classifier. That's the case, for example, in Percepta. And then finally, the medical affairs engine is also very important. This is the engine that works very closely with leaders in the field, key opinion leaders, to help design the studies and these studies that take us all the way from accruing samples from various sites all the way to randomized prospective trials and the clinical utility studies, and also works hand in hand with key opinion leaders to achieve inclusion in the guidelines, which is really, really important for changing patient care. So those are our four engines that we're so proud of.
The resulting clinical biorepositories that result from all this work have just created enormous value to us and to many partners that we collaborate with as well. And just wanted to point out that the development team, in addition to transferring these robust tests into CLIA Lab, it's the same team that brings these products on the nCounter now through the global regulatory bodies to launch them as IVD tests. And we actually already have a couple programs underway in that area. So Julia, thanks for spending so much time on that. Such a key nucleus to everything we do. So these engines have to work in concert to move a test from pure concept into the clinic. The track record, as you've stated, is just really admirable. Can you walk us through the process to help us understand some of the fundamentals of each of these steps?
Well, the most fundamental step is actually the first step, which is defining the product. What do you want the test to do? What clinical question will the algorithm answer? So we first start by taking the existing current clinical care pathway in a particular indication and determine what does a patient have to do in order to get a diagnosis. And usually these clinical flows have points in them where there's an opportunity for improvement. So for example, our tests are designed to help patients avoid something like an invasive procedure or a more aggressive treatment later on. So they're designed to improve the patient experience and outcome. So we determine very carefully where in the pathway of care our test should be positioned, at this step or that step, before this test or after this test. And then, even more important, we determine ahead of time, what performance does the classifier need to have in order to deliver value at that step? So it's really important to get that set up correctly. And given the nature of the decisions that our tests inform, these are really important decisions for the patient and the clinician. So we really deploy very broad science and develop rigorous clinical evidence in order to earn the trust of both physicians and patients.
So let's dive a little deeper into what you mean by broad science and deep clinical evidence, two key stakes.
Yeah, we use machine learning, as you know, and we use it on whole transcriptome data. What is that? Well, whole transcriptome data is all of the transcripts that emanate from all of the genes in the genome that are transcribed in that particular tissue that you're using to do the diagnosis. So we develop this very dense genomic data, genomic picture on each sample, on as many patients that we can gather to study a particular problem. And we take that data, and then the clinical team has provided us with the truth of that patient. What does that patient have or not have? We take that, it's called a label, and we combine those two pieces, and we train an algorithm or a set of algorithms, sometimes algorithms embedded within algorithms. And we do that to answer a particular medical question, which we have deemed relevant and important up front. For example, is this thyroid nodule benign or suspicious? Is this transbronchial biopsy containing a usual interstitial pneumonia pattern, UIP, or not? We then, after we train the algorithm and teach it to see the features and recognize the truth that we have given it through the labels, we then must lock that algorithm when we feel it's finished learning and tested in an independent test set of patient samples. And for that, we use large-scale, prospective, double-blinded clinical validation studies. And that is hard already by itself, but that's not enough. We then have to show that the test is robust to day-to-day variation encountered in a lab setting. That's analytical validation. And that isn't enough. After the test is in the hands of clinicians and it's out there commercially, we design what are called clinical utility studies in the real world to determine whether the test actually made a difference, i.e., improved patient care. And that's not enough. We work with physicians across these specialties to determine what is needed to change standard of care through written guidelines. And that's not enough. We still then have to set up cost effectiveness studies with all this data and show that the test costs the healthcare system either more money or less money than standard of care. In all our cases, it costs less money, which is good for the patient and good for the healthcare system. So it's a long road, it's very detailed, and it starts from the beginning and it ends with changing patient care.
That's a great example. And just to augment that a bit, when we do these studies where we want to show that patients can benefit or not benefit from chemo, we have to go through the same process using those outcomes as endpoints. So it's quite a journey indeed. Can you briefly describe the portfolio of products just to give our audience a context?
Sure, Bonnie. I'll focus on our first three products with Prosigna, our breast cancer test being the newest addition. It all started 13 years ago with Afirma, our flagship molecular diagnostic, which allows physicians to take a fine needle aspirate from a suspicious thyroid nodule and determine whether that nodule is benign or suspicious for malignancy. So patients with a benign result can safely avoid a surgery and they get to keep their thyroids instead of having to go on lifelong hormone replacement. Our second test, Percepta, allows pulmonologists to classify a patient with a suspicious lung nodule as either low risk or high risk using bronchial brushings collected through standard bronchoscopy. And then finally, Envisia is a test that allows physicians to classify transbronchial needle biopsies taken from the lungs of patients with suspected lung fibrosis and allows them to classify them as either having the usual interstitial pneumonia pattern or UIP or not UIP, thus saving these very ill patients from requiring a surgical lung biopsy to confirm a diagnosis of idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis. So those are our flagship tests.
Talk to us now about, just in closing remarks, how you see Veracyte working deeply with the breast cancer medical community to solve future problems in breast cancer.
Sure. So in closing, I would say that our team over the last 13 years has demonstrated that we have collaborated with many, many investigators. This can be seen easily in our long list of publications with co-authors from all the major indications. These co-authors are leaders in their respective fields. They're giants. We're eager to seek out potential collaborative opportunities that really move the needle in helping patients. So we're not interested necessarily in all the studies that can be done. We're really, really focused like a laser on those that move the needle in helping patients. So the PROCURE study, which you're going to hear more about, is particularly exciting for us because it will leverage the insight and perspectives of the broad community of breast cancer physicians to help us understand where to best apply our efforts to meaningfully improve patient care. So we're really looking forward to that.
Thank you, Julia. So appreciate all your insights and sharing with the community. We hope everyone has enjoyed getting to know Veracyte a bit, and we look forward to working with you to advance the field of breast cancer care.
And that concludes the overview of the Veracyte-sponsored symposium, The Pathway to the Future of Breast Cancer Care, which took place in virtual fashion at the European Breast Cancer Congress on October 3rd, 2020. I do hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did, and share my feelings when I say I'm looking forward to Veracyte and other players in the precision medicine landscape providing these tools that will enable doctors to correctly administer the most appropriate treatments based on the underlying biology of the disease. Thank you, and see you next time on the EMG Health Podcast. Bye for now.